Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heavenbound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, this past Sunday, of course, we are in the early stages of a series that we've called God's Church, God's Work, God's Way. But you had the opportunity to talk about something that you are just really passionate about.
We did. We talked about lessons from American Restoration history, and that concept, that phrase, restoration movement or restoration history, is a period of time in American history where we read about the return to the Bible and how folks got the New Testament church established here in America. A lot of personalities, a lot of places, a lot of names, and it's just fascinating as we learn about that. It's important for us to understand when we read about the Bible and the church in the Bible, how did that church get to America? That's kind of what this lesson was about, and then some lessons we learned from that. And as those early people were coming to some conclusions and looking at things, how they were worshiping and how the Bible taught, they had to make some changes. And every generation faces the same thing as we look at how the Bible teaches and whether we'll follow that or not.
If you have not had the opportunity to watch or to listen to that sermon, I would absolutely encourage you to do so. It's in our sermon podcast feed. It's available at charlestownroad.org. Lessons from American Restoration History. Roger, both of us love history. And what I would love to do, having listened to that sermon and seen you lit up with excitement about sharing it, of course, you only had about 15 minutes to walk us through many, many, many chapters of American Restoration history. You did a great recap. But let me just ask you personally, what captured your imagination about this period in history? What do you love about it?
Well, first of all, I grew up loving history. That came from my parents, my father particularly. We would also oftentimes go to Civil War battlefields, and history was a big part of our growing up. And so that's always been of interest to me. And then as I became a Christian and started looking at the Bible, I became interested in how these things came about in America. And it didn't take very long till that just captivated me. And I started looking at things. I've collected and collected and collected and collected. I'm still collecting
things. You've got a small museum.
I've got a massive amount of material I've collected through the years on this subject. I've been through all kinds of old church buildings. I've read church records. I've written on this. I've had people I've done the research for other people in books. It's just fascinating to me. And what fascinates me is, you know, as we read about these people, they all have a story, so many personalities, so many battles they went through. In a lot of ways, it's our story because we do the same thing. And here we are today, and we stand upon their shoulders, and we have to face living for Jesus in this generation, facing the things that our culture throws at us, and we have to make decisions the same way. And so it's just something I think it's very valuable for us to see, and it's something that's just been a big part of my life.
Yeah, I would describe it for you as much more than just a side curiosity or a personal hobby. You are really passionate about this, not only reading about it, but of course trying to collect resources from that era. And so, okay, someone is driving to work on Wednesday morning, or they're on the treadmill Wednesday afternoon, whenever they're reading or listening to this. Why do you think it matters for all of us as disciples of Jesus that we have an appreciation for what has come before us?
We walk in a church building on Sunday morning, and you know, all the lights are on, the mics are on, and everything's set to do things. We've got people already lined up to read and to do prayers and song leading, and we just take it. That's the way it's always been. and has not always been that way. And people have had to work through things. Just last night, I was reading a magazine written in 1915. That's what I do at night. I read this old stuff, you know, dusty and moldy sometimes. But I was reading this article from an original magazine written in 1915, and they were talking about should they or should they not have individual communion cups. And the author, as he's writing through this, started talking about how in some of these little country church buildings, people are hacking and coughing and sneezing. And he's starting to see how maybe from a health reason that is. Well, you know, until COVID, you know, that's just something we assumed. And it's easy for us to think, well, we've always had those things. That's some things people had to think about. And had to look in the scriptures and had to see, well, what's right, what's wrong, what's judgment, what's something that's allowable, what's not. And so it is for us today with so many things we do. We just say, okay, what about, let's go back to the scriptures, let's see the principles, and let's see about those things. So restoration isn't just a backward look. It is a current thing where we're at today, and every generation has to look at how close we're going to get back to that New Testament way.
All right. So let's put maybe a few Bible passages underneath this. Can you, when you think about God telling his people to remember their history, what sort of episodes or scenes in the Bible come to your mind?
There are several. I mean, one of the very first ones takes us to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 4, when Joshua led the nation across the Jordan River parted, they were to go into Promised Land, but as they were going over there, Joshua told picked one from each of the 12 tribes to pick up a rock. Carry it on his shoulder, according to the numbers of the tribes of sons of Israel, says in chapter 4. And then it says later on, when people ask, what do these stones mean to you? When your children ask that, they will say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went across the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. God did not want them to forget what happened. They kept those rocks as a memorial. The Jewish Passover was a reminder of when Israel was supposed to put blood upon the mantle of the door, and death passed over and killed the firstborn of Egypt, and they got out of Egyptian captivity. That was something God wanted them to remember. Peter would say in 2 Peter chapter 3, he said, this is the second time I'm writing this to you to stir up your mind into remembrance. And so concepts, even like the Lord's Supper, do this in memory of me is what the Bible says. So all over the Bible, we find this idea of going backward and remembering important events and remembering these things as it came to us. I like this one. We kind of overlooked this one, but it's in 2 Peter chapter 1, right after Peter talks about all the virtues we're to add to our life. He says, for he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. We need to remember the day we came to Christ. We need to remember when we were baptized. We need to remember why we did it. I think we ought to remember that date. It's a very important date for us. And then what happened after that? So the idea of going backward and remembering, those are important things. I personally think each congregation ought to have their history written. I think as new people come in, they need to know the history of that church. Our church started off in someone's front room a long time ago in New Albany, Indiana, and grew and grew and grew and grew to different places. But I think that history is important, and it helps us to appreciate where we are and where we're going.
It strikes me how often in Scripture, when God's people got themselves in trouble, when he speaks to them through prophets or patriarchs or apostles, whomever it is, he doesn't sit them down and say, okay, it's time to innovate. You know, it's time to come up with a new solution. This didn't work. And so where are we going to pivot now into a different direction to solve this problem? Over and over and over again, he tells them to look backwards. Jeremiah chapter 6 stands out to me. Of course, if you're familiar with the prophet Jeremiah, you know there's a whole lot of bad news and diagnosis as to how we got ourselves in this mess. And it's in Jeremiah chapter 6 that God says through the prophet, "Stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls." Right there, God says, just because it's ancient doesn't mean it's outdated. Just because it's ancient doesn't mean it's bad or we're past that. He says the good way has been shown you via those ancient paths, but you've got to stop, you've got to stand and take the time to look and ask for where the good way is.
And let me add to that, you know, there's a lot of people who are into antiques. They like collecting antiques and they like old things. And what we're talking about here is just not looking at something because it's old. That's not the point. And it's not because it's something that's a little different than today. And today's world technology changes so fast. It's a fast moving world. Let's go back to simpler time, an old fashioned way. Sometimes a generation doesn't like that. They may think we're too traditional. What we're looking at is something that God made and it works. That's what we're talking about. That's what makes the restoration concept so good, is that it's not just that it's old, not that it's so different from today. It's a system that was given to us by God, and it still works. The way God saves still works. The way God wants us to worship still works. And so you can't improve upon what God has given us. And that's the concept, I think, about going back and restoring or repeating the things that God has first given us.
That's at the heartbeat of this series we've only just begun. God's church, God's work, God's way, right? I appreciated toward the end of your sermon on Sunday morning, you really emphasized that as the church of the 21st century, our focus needs to be backwards just as much as it is forwards. Now, we understand for leadership, for progress, for health even, we need to be looking down the line, right? We need to be planning. We need to be asking, what if? We need to be anticipating as much as is possible. We've had a master class in that over the course of the last couple of years. Okay, what if we're not able to do certain things the way that we would like them to be done? But if all of our focus is forwards, we easily drift, right? We lose our mooring. We have our anchor cut. And so why, here in late 2021, do you believe with all of your heart that the 21st century church needs to be focused backwards just as much as forwards?
Well, first of all, because what you just said is, and that's because the system God gave us worked. It worked then, it will work today. You cannot improve upon what God has done. And so we're studying Ezra on Wednesday evenings, and we're in a section where they're going to rebuild the temple. They're not going to make it different. They're not going to make it better. They're going to go back and restore what it was before it was torn down. That's that concept. And so the concept is, if we cut off the past, let's just forget the past, let's just move forward, then what we're doing is we're innovating. And what we're doing is we're adding things that's not in the Bible. And why don't we bring in a group of managers, even though managers are not talked about in the Bible in the organization. Let's turn a church into a democracy instead of a theocracy. And let's do this. And when we go forward looking, we forget where we came from. We forget our foundation. And we're doomed for trouble when we do that. When Jeroboam rebuilt or built a new temple, he didn't want the people going back to Jerusalem, so he built a different temple, different cities, different priests. Everything was different, even different gods to worship. What he did was he led those people away from God. They forgot where they started. They forgot that foundation line. So there's like a stake in the ground. That stake cannot be moved. And that's something that, this history reminds us of as we look back, not just in history, but we're looking back to the Bible way. And that's what, that's the interesting things. In the book of Thessalonians, it said that they, what they did is they imitated the churches that were in Judea. They would look backward. And that's what we must be doing as well.
All right. So, it's not uncommon when someone hears you talk about this or someone gets just a little bit of a primer on a subject like restoration history to ask, well, I don't even know where to start. Maybe you've got a young preacher that is listening and he's heard about the American Restoration History Movement, but he really doesn't know where to begin. Or perhaps even members of our own church family would like to dig a little deeper. They don't have all of the resources that you have in the Shouse Restoration Museum, but what would you recommend for a place to start to learn more?
Well, and there's so many names, so many places, so many, you know, and you know, I've collected the history of the of different churches in states. I've got a lot of biographies about the. I would try to get to 32,000 foot view, just see the overall picture first, and then find your passion. Your passion, maybe I just wanted to study this particular history. For me personally, it's been Indiana Restoration. That's been my forte, and that's where I put most of my interest in. But there's two old books are still out and still around by Earl West called Search for the Ancient Order. It's a multi-volume set, but volume one, volume two are pretty decent. And they will tell you how it started. And they'll give you names such as Stone and Campbell and Abner Jones and John Mulkey, different guys in different places, and how on different reasons they came to the same conclusion. We got to drop these creeds, drop all these names, and let's just follow the Bible. And how that just became from one church to another church to a movement, and what caused all that. That's be where I'd start. And then you can always contact me personally. I can take you down lots of roads here because I've spent a passion doing this stuff. But it is interesting. I'm thankful that some people have allowed me to do some things I'd never been able to do. Like I mentioned in my sermon, preaching at Old Cane Ridge Church, built in 1791. That building is still in existence. And I was able to give a couple lessons there this year. And that's just phenomenal to me as I think about those opportunities.
Search for the Ancient Order was the first resource I read. It was recommended to me by my dad, and I was thankful for that. It gave me a great, like you said, 30,000 foot view of the whole thing. Still available. Very, very, very good resource. And again, if you have not had the opportunity to watch or to listen to the sermon itself from this past Sunday, Lessons from American Restoration History, I would certainly encourage you to go back and do that. Roger, you mentioned Ezra earlier. You're going to be in the auditorium even this evening, taking that a step further. Where exactly are you going to be tonight?
We're going to be in Ezra chapter 6. And in chapter 6, they finally complete the temple. After 20 years, they've been trying to build it again. They finally complete it. It's a joyous chapter. Great lessons come out of that. And those are some things that we need to appreciate as well.
We're going to be in our Building Blocks track of studies, continuing our little series on Wednesday nights. As we look at worship, we're looking worship then and now. Last Wednesday, we looked at sacrifices. This evening, Lord willing, we're going to talk about priests. And the fascinating thing to look at with worship then and now is, well, we don't offer animal sacrifices anymore, but that doesn't mean sacrifices aren't made. And we don't have priests walking around today in the Lord's church the way that Aaron and his family, the Levites, were. But that doesn't mean that there aren't priests today. What we're seeing in this series is We are to be the sacrifices. We are to serve as priests in the service of God. And so we would love for you and your family to be here to dig a little deeper into that. Lord willing, this coming Sunday morning, we'll take our God's church, God's work, God's way a step further. This will be part three of our Sunday morning series, and we're going to talk about the church's mission, God's work. What is our mission? Lots of organizations around us have all sorts of mission statements. Well, what's our mission? And why? We'll dig into that, Lord willing, this Sunday morning. And then, Roger, on Sunday evenings, you and I will be back in a chair series. We're going to look at evangelism. Does it matter how we do it? Lots of things that we're digging into. Let me put you on the spot here before we close. Your favorite figure from Restoration history.
I knew you'd ask me that. Well, you know, you got the first generation guys like Stone and Campbell. You got the second generation guys like McGarvey. There's a guy here not far from my area named Absalom Littell. Amazing story. And I just have always liked his story. A guy who grew up in a denomination, came to understand New Testament way, and had some battles to overcome that. But he did that and just led the way in this community right here about getting things back to the New Testament way.
Not so long after I had moved here, you took me to his grave.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
History all around us. Roger, thanks for being a little bit of a tour guide for us today. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We would love to see you tonight. We're already looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week, and we would love to have you come and grow with us.